And we're rolling. You're up in that St. Thomas area, Mark. What are you watching the peak fly move north, I think, right?
Yes, that is correct. And we should be right on it now. Today is a breezy day up here, so it may impact the counts a little bit. But the model suggests that the Southern Valley should have peaked probably over the weekend and into maybe or just the last couple of days. And then the model had suggested the 6th or 7th of June for peak fly up north, and it's looking like that's the case. There are actually quite a few flies around my tractor and equipment up here this morning. So things are certainly buzzing, and I guess time will tell. Hopefully, I think one of the big concerns I have is just the, that a lot of fields were late planted, and no fault to the producers. It's just that's kind of the way the cards laid out this spring. And so we've got root maggot flies that are peaking about a week ahead of average, and some maybe behind average plant development. So those plants are going to be more susceptible to going down due to root maggot feeding injury. And certainly if this warm weather persists, that's going to even, enhance the ability of the root maggot to make the plants more susceptible to going down due to root feeding.
Now, with the smaller beets like this, does that mean the root maggot fly will extend a little longer than normal, or the damage can be extended a little longer than normal?
Well, I guess first I should mention that even though the plants are really small, even if they're cotyledon, those flies are able to find those fields and find those individual plants so the females can find them to lay eggs around. So if the plants are above ground at all, the flies are going to find them. And then the big concern is just that they're going to be so small. The other thing is, and kind of to further answer your question, I think the weather is going to have an impact on the sort of the shape of the peaks or the activity kind of curve, if you will, with more kind of unsettled weather in the forecast. And certainly this last week has been such as that. The activity is probably going to continue. The windy weather that comes along with unsettled weather patterns, stormy weather, and we've got that in the forecast for the next few days, at least possibilities. That brings, the wind, and the wind keeps the flies down. So they may be staying closer to their where they overwintered and where they emerged from. And so they'll keep trickling into the fields the next several days, I would say, for certain the next few days.
Okay. So the biggest thing now is probably a little too late to get the granular on, but we need to take care of it with the liquids, huh?
Probably, yeah. We're going to actually experiment a little bit with some late applied granulars this year to see, because this seems to keep coming up, especially this last 5-6 years or so. So we want to see what granules can do applied later. And liquids are probably going to be the best choice, and we're mostly limited to the pyrethroid insecticides at this point with the loss of chlorpyrifos.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do we need to, if this peak fly kind of hangs around a little longer, do we need to be thinking about retreats or not?
Yeah, I think that is a possibility. I would just suggest that growers kind of keep an eye on treated fields, and activity resurges, I use a kind of a benchmark. It's not a tried and true formalized threshold, but it's a benchmark to give people guidance, kind of a guideline, I guess you'd say, if they're seeing, especially if they have a moderate protection plan on at planting, say a seed treatment or an at-plant liquid that maybe doesn't perform quite as well as a full rate of a granular insecticide, that they should probably, or especially if they don't have any at-plant protection, if they've got a resurgence and they're getting up to About one fly every two plants. So that comes to, a half a fly per plant average that they should probably consider a retreat. And then they need to mind the label too. Some of the pyrethroid products have a respray interval restriction of 7 days, so they have to watch out for that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to be aware of?
Well, there's a little bit of cutworm activity in the more southerly growing areas, the Mindak production area especially, so that's a concern as well. Pyrethroid insecticides are probably going to be the best choice for them as well. And evening applications tend to work well for cutworms because these species of cutworms that are causing damage this earlier part of the growing season feed during the overnight hours. So putting it on late afternoon or even later into the evening, you can usually do a pretty good job on them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in the daytime, they're under the dirt then.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so the insecticide, if you do a morning application, then it's just going to be sitting out there in the elements in the sun for several hours before it needs to be, or before it will be, be coming into contact with the pest, with the cutworms. So. And then we also have some outbreaks of a four-lined plant bug in some of the southern Minnesota growing areas as well. They look a little bit like a Liguus bug, but as an adult, they're much more striking, kind of a yellowish green. Actually, a beautiful insect, but they're causing a little bit of foliar injury in beets down there. It's not quite known yet whether it's going to be economic or not, but it's something to kind of keep an eye out for. They cause kind of a dark-colored lesion on the foliage. The adults I described already, the nymphs or immatures are red-bodied with, once they develop wing pads, the wing pads are black in color. And so that's another critter on the horizon, I guess, to watch out for.
Is that, I guess I've never seen those. Is something new that's coming in?
Yes, fairly new, and we're still, I haven't really done my homework on its origin or its, where it's originally, where its place of origin is, but it's certainly surfaced the last couple of years, especially in southern Minnesota, even in southeastern as well as southwestern Minnesota. And it's feeding on weed species as well. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily an absolute pest of things, but it can feed on ornamentals, and it has been feeding a little bit on beets as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to ask my brother if they've seen anything down there. So.
Sure. Yeah, I got a call actually yesterday from U of M Extension in New Ulm. Saying they were getting calls about it down there too, and I've gotten calls from Southern Min Beet Sugar Development or Cooperative as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask Todd DeSantis about it and see what he has to say.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So interesting. It's something new. You don't think about that all.
We kind of have our same old deal. There are our trusty things like the root maggot.
Yep.
Every year,
maggot, cutworm, springtail, wireworm.
Yeah, right. You got it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. I appreciate the info this morning. Thank you much.
You're most welcome. You bet.